This is Terry Bush with the Iroquois County Times-Republic, dated March 21, 2024. We'll begin on the front page with a report on voter turnout in the recent primary. With voter turnout at 24.9%, Iroquois County voters selected Republican and Democratic candidates in a number of races in the March 19 primary election. In Illinois, results of the election are unofficial for 14 days to make sure any vote-by-mail ballots postmarked on election day, in this case March 19, might arrive to be counted. There were a few local races that were contested on the Republican ticket. For State Senator of the 53rd Legislative District to replace current State Senator Tom Bennett, Chris Balcomo was the top vote-getter in Iroquois County with 1,727 votes. He was also the top vote-getter in the district. In Iroquois County, Jesse Faber had 1,025 votes, Susan Wynn Bentz had 784 votes, and Mike Kirkton had 306 votes. Balcomo issued a press release last night declaring victory. I want to thank my incredible volunteer team and express my immense gratitude for the faith Republican voters placed in me to be our next state senator, he said in the release. We have a lot of work to do in Springfield, and I will work as hard as I have as Grundy County Board Chairman in bringing about conservative results. There were two people vying for one Iroquois County State's Attorney's Office on the Republican ballot. Michael Quinlan received 3,030 votes and Rebecca Songlin 710 votes. For Iroquois County Board District 2, three people were running for two seats. Gerald Jed Whitlow received 733 votes, Jody L. Munsterman received 645 votes, and John Schur received 397 votes. For two Iroquois County Board District 4 seats, Scott Watts received 749 votes. There were three write-in candidates as well for that seat, with Roger Bard receiving 108 votes, John Zumwalt 71 votes, and Kevin Bowman 57 votes. Other races on the Republican ballot for Iroquois County and their vote totals include President of the United States, Ryan Binkley, 22 votes, Ron DeSantis, 122 votes, Nikki Haley, 398 votes, Donald J. Trump, 3,304 votes, and Chris Christie, 65 votes. Representative in Congress, 2nd Congressional District, Ashley Ramos, 3,316 votes. In the race for delegate to the National Nominating Convention from the 2nd Congressional District, voters could choose up to three candidates. The returns include Kurt Diekelman, who was pledged for Nikki Haley, 442 votes, Waylon Johnson, also for Haley, 401 votes, Sarah Vaubel, Haley, 413 votes, Suzanne Rickman, Trump, 2,904 votes, Lori Schaefer, Trump, 2,893 votes, Kelly Vera, Trump, 2,660 votes, David E. Smith, DeSantis, 180 votes, Faith Cagle, DeSantis, 157 votes, Justin Krolik, DeSantis, 119 votes. In the race for alternate delegate to the National Nominating Convention from the 2nd Congressional District, voters again could choose up to three candidates. Rende Lenguas for Haley, 408 votes. Connor Galansk, Haley, 418 votes. Tammy Burnham for Trump, 2,841 votes. David H. Penny for Trump, 2,818 votes. Kenneth L. Woodward, Jr. for Trump, 2,786 votes. Kendall Smith for DeSantis, 178 votes. Aaron Weinberg for DeSantis, 129 votes. And Alex Boyd for DeSantis, 179 votes. Representative in the General Assembly, 106th Representative District, Jason R. Bunting, 3,566 votes. Iroquois County Circuit Clerk Lisa K. Hines, 3,663 votes. Iroquois County Coroner William Cheatham, 3,653 votes. Iroquois County Board District 1, voters could choose two. Lyle Behrens, 729 votes. Chad McGinnis, 747 votes. Iroquois County Board District 3, voters again could choose two. Raymond J. Williams, 749 votes. Jamie Lee Baker, 787 votes. Judge of the Appellate Court, 3rd Judicial District, to fill vacancy of the Honorable Mary K. O'Brien, Jason Halland, 3,337 votes. Judge of the Appellate Court, 3rd Judicial District, to fill the vacancy of the Honorable Daniel L. Schmidt, John F. Costello, Jr., 3,321 votes. On the Democratic ballot, totals in Iroquois County include for President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., 377 votes, Deans Phillips, 18 votes, Mariana Williamson, 23 votes, and Frankie Lozada, 5 votes. Representative in Congress from the 2nd Congressional District, Robin Kelly, 406 votes. Delegate to the National Nominating Convention from the 2nd Congressional District, Sheila Chalmers Curran for Biden, 343 votes. Bernard Alsbury for Biden, 289 votes. Debbie Myers Martin for Biden, 329 votes. Napoleon Harris for Biden, 296 votes. Ertharin Cousin for Biden, 290 votes. Alex Gallegos for Biden, 322 votes. For state senator from the 53rd Legislative District, no candidate. Representative in the General Assembly, 106th Representative District, no candidate. Iroquois County Circuit Clerk, Iroquois County Coroner, Iroquois County Board District 1 and 2, no candidates were filed. Judge of the Appellate Court, 3rd Judicial District, to fill the vacancy of the Honorable Tom M. Litton, John Anderson, 273 votes, Joe Heddle, 117 votes. Judge of the Appellate Court, 3rd Judicial District, to fill vacancy of the Honorable Mary K. O'Brien, Linda Davenport, 389 votes. Judge of the Appellate Court, 3rd Judicial District, to fill the vacancy of the Honorable Daniel L. Schmidt, Lance Peterson, 384 votes. On the ballot question about a proposed new optional elementary unit school district, 67 voters voted yes and 38 no. For members of the Board of Education to serve a full 4-year term, voters could choose up to 7 candidates. The candidates' winning votes included Bill Jennings with 80, Jessica Jackson, 79, Lucas O'Connell, 74, Tim Wentz, 73, Aaron Hayes, 79, and Gilbert Miramontes, 67 votes. In a related story, new election voting devices application process work well in Iroquois County. New voting devices and a new application process worked well in the Iroquois County March 19 primary election. Clerk Brian Suvers said, "Coming in today, I was extremely nervous. It was the first time I've ever been nervous before an election. It was new devices and a new application process, and hoping that I taught my judges well. They did excellent. It was actually the first election I have run since 2020 that I was able to go out to precincts and see how it was going. I wanted to be able to do that because of the new devices and get a feel for how the judges felt about them and things like that," she said, noting that a few minor hiccups happened and were taken care of quickly. The voter turnout at 24.9% was close to what Suver wanted, which was 25%. "It didn't seem busy," she said of the day. "I really underestimated the amount of vote by mail-in ballots." In 2022, the permanent vote-by-mail option happened, and Suver said they have several of those. In Illinois, results of the election are unofficial for 14 days after the election. To make sure any vote-by-mail ballots postmarked on Election Day might arrive to be counted. Suver said the new devices are heavier than the old ones, so judges had to get used to that. She said they will also be looking for a new way to store the devices at the County Administrative Center because the design is different from the old ones. Cisna Park FFA members helped again this election to help with the election devices and escort the election judges. They're always a huge help, she said, and I know our judges like to see them and talk to them. She praised her staff as well. They always do a good job. Suver also noted that township supervisors and others around the county are always very helpful too. I cannot thank them enough. Township supervisors are the people that set up the polling place for us, because sometimes they delegate that to someone else, because our ballot boxes now fold up, so it was a little bit of a learning curve for them. And then we have different tables and things like that, so before the election I'd gone to every precinct and delivered and showed them how to set those up. And they did amazing. That was a huge help. I cannot thank the township supervisors enough for helping us as much as they do. Suver said she felt the day went smoothly, and by the November election, she anticipates it will be even more so. Continuing on the front page, we have the headline, Watseka Sensations Finish Out Competition Season with Community Performance. The Watseka Sensations capped off their 2024 season with a community performance March 17 at the high school. The group had a good season, performing at four competitions this year and earning a tie for second runner-up at Crete Monee, earning best combo at Southmont, and then second runner-up at John Hersey. Choir director Grace Kim said the theme was dreams. The Sensations set list this year included Once Upon a Dream with soloist Marissa Clark, Thriller with soloist Maggie Dickey, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, Stand By Me with soloist Madison Hughes, Wake Me Up with soloist Caden Thomas, and Home. Choir director Kim said it starts off with us in that dream nightmare scenario, and we eventually wake up, noting that it shows in the songs that were chosen. She said the group went to Chicagoland Showcase, Crete Monee, and Indiana to compete this year. The group consists of 12 singer-dancers, 10 combo members, and 5 crew members. They started in the summer with rehearsal. We did a show choir camp about a week before our first day of school, she said. The group had the show about 80% done by the time camp ended. The kids loved the show. They loved the show and loved what they were doing. They worked really hard. Kim said they will soon be looking to next year, and she encourages any student to audition. They don't have to have dance experience, and if they're worried about singing, that's what a choir teacher is there for, to help them improve. And it's not like they will be out there in the open alone. They will have other singer-dancers to help and support them. So if the reason they are iffy or they are scared is because they're worried about not having experience, I didn't have dancing experience and I did show choir and I loved it. Don't let that stop you. Kim said, too, the community has been supportive again this year. I've only been here for 2 years, but the amount of love and support that I have received as a director and also the support we have received as a show choir is amazing. Next, we have another installment in the Women's History Month series about Iroquois County women contributing to the success of the area. This week's feature is Donna Crow, a longtime Iroquois County board member who encourages people to be involved and aware of what goes on in government. Crow worked as a legal secretary, is a past precinct committeeman, vice president of the Iroquois County Republican Women's Club, secretary for Milford United Methodist Church, and Milford School District bus driver. She became a member of the Iroquois County Board in 2006 and has served every year but 2 years since. In those 2 years, she didn't serve on the county board because she ran for a county office instead. Crow grew up in Polo, Illinois, where her father was in agriculture with a feeder cattle business. The family also raised and showed quarter horses. She married her husband, Randy, there in 1975. The couple moved to Milford in 1976, and Randy worked with his father at the Milford Airport and the family farm. They had two children who grew up and went to Iroquois County schools. One child still lives in Iroquois County. Crow said, "I was raising my children and helped a little on the family farm. I've also always had a great interest in agriculture. That was my father's business, too. I've always had a great interest in the agricultural health of Iroquois County." While a member of the Iroquois Antiquers, the group has replaced all the windows at Prairie Dell Church and replaced the velvet draperies at the old Courthouse Museum Victorian Room. The group purchased the replica blinds in the old depot in Watseka and restored a map in the community room in Crescent City. In her retirement, she's driven a school bus for the Milford School District for the past 11 years. "I really enjoy the field trips," she said. She worked as a legal secretary for two different attorneys through the years, Susan Tungate and Paul Mannion. They were at opposite ends of the political spectrum, she said. "One benefit was that I got to see both sides, but he never swayed me." Phyllis Jameson, who was a past county board member and Iroquois County coroner, was Crow's mentor. When Phyllis was getting ready to give up her seat on the county board, she approached me and asked me if I would be interested in doing that. I thought about it, and I talked to my husband about it. "I've always thought that you need to pay attention to what's going on in government. I think it's dangerous for people not to pay attention to what's going on. I decided to run for the county board, which was kind of a scary thing for me. I hadn't thought of doing that prior to Phyllis approaching me about it." In that 2006 race, there were five board members to be elected, and there was some opposition that year. Crow was elected as one of the five for the board that year. "I've always tried to remember that I work for the people, that it's the people's money we spend. It's very humbling to receive such overwhelming vote totals that support you and know that the people have put their faith in you. I could never break that trust." Through the years, there have been more men on the board than women. As of right now, Crow is the only woman, with the passing of Barb Offal earlier this year. Crow said, "I've served with some great women and mentors, and I wish more people would pay attention and consider running for county board. It's very important. It's a grassroots job. Since being involved on the county board, I've learned just how important the grassroots are. People need to understand that it all starts here, and it is important, and we can make a difference." Crow has served on several committees through the years, including the Judicial Committee, of which she has been vice chairman in the past. She most recently has been serving on the ARPA Committee. "I've been very pleased to be on the ARPA committee and see that money goes through to a good deal of infrastructure," she said, "including township and city water and sidewalk issues and other projects with organizations. The county was also able to use some of the money to benefit the body scanner, new voting machines, and other items that the county could really use but didn't have the funds for." She has also served on management, zoning, and highway committees through the years and served under four different chairmen. She said she has enjoyed serving on all of them and learned a lot in doing so. "I've learned so much on highway that I absolutely didn't know about how many miles we have and how many bridges we have and how motor fuel tax works and what we can spend and can't spend," she said, noting that many people don't realize that there are different levels of road maintenance, the state, the county, and township levels. "The policies between the state and county and township levels are very different. Not all roads are kept at the same level of the state. There's just not enough dollars for us." She said the Judicial Committee is also very interesting. Judicial has the most elected officials under it and the most bills. You've got the coroner, the sheriff, the state's attorney, the circuit clerk, probation, 9/11, and the judges all running through that committee. especially because of working for two attorneys. I especially enjoy working on judicial and hearing about what goes on in the court system and the state's attorney's office. The management committee is interesting, she said, because that committee deals with the county farm issues and building issues. When she served on the zoning committee, it was at the time when the first wind ordinance was established. Our zoning committee sat there for hours and hashed through it and worked through it. I think the committees need to do the work of writing ordinances and reviewing ordinances in an open session so people know what's going on. I hope that people will view the videos on YouTube so they can see what their county board is doing and read the articles in the Times Republic, she said. There have been a number of issues that the county board has tackled in the time that Crow's been on the board, including budget issues, layoffs, public safety tax, the first wind tower ordinance, hog farms, and night meetings. She said during one of the floods, she manned the phones in the Emergency Operations Center with emergency management. That was a very learning experience, she said. I'll do that again. She also took courses with emergency management and received certificates for emergency management several years ago. She also takes sexual harassment awareness training each year for both the county and the school district. When asked about what she would say to people about getting involved, Crow said, "It's a wonderful opportunity to learn how your government works, and I encourage people to do that at any level, whether it be the school board, village, county, or any board. And we have a lot of them in this county. There's library boards, fire trustees, all kinds, many ways to give back. I feel very strongly that you should become involved in something. You can learn as you go. You don't have to learn it all coming in. It helps you if you have some basic knowledge, but it's a life learning experience," she said. "I feel I've spoken on behalf of the people, and I think what I've had to say has reflected my constituents' feelings. At least, that's what I get from their comments," she said. "I've had a very supportive public. I really appreciate it when somebody calls me and asks me what the true story is, or tells me they don't like this or that. Sometimes I'm able to give them additional facts that make them understand why you have to do it. We all know there are certain situations where, because of state statutes or mandates and things like that, our hands are tied, and it's not a palatable situation, but we have to live with it." Crow said she encourages people to be involved and stay educated. "Don't ever assume your government is just going to take care of it," she said. "People need to question their government all the time and pay attention. I just can't say it strongly enough. People have to be involved for our system to work. They can't just assume somebody else is going to do it. I've seen some great young people go on to become involved, and it's wonderful. My second thing is, you've got to vote. Don't ever take your privilege and your right and your duty to vote lightly. Take yourself and instill it in your adult children how important it is to vote on election day." Next, we have the headline, "Electron Eli Visits Crescent City Grade School." On Friday, March 8, mad scientist Electron Eli visited Crescent City Grade School and brought along his mobile lab to perform science experiments. Before starting his experiments, he explained the golden rules for his lab. 1. Students cannot touch his stuff unless he gives permission. 2. Don't be noisy during his experiments. 3. Whenever he does a successful experiment, he will yell, "Science!" and wave his hand, with the students doing likewise. And 4. Never put anything from a lab in your mouth. After Electron Eli introduced himself, he shared that he wanted to be a magician, but since he wasn't good at it, he became a mad scientist, because sometimes you still make stuff disappear. He tried to invent a genie, a chemical reaction inside a glass flask. Alas, no genie appeared, but the smoke effect was great. An experiment popular with all the students was the creation of elephant toothpaste, which Electron Eli made in the school colors of blue and yellow. To explain centrifugal force, he put water in a small cup and then put the cup on a plate. He swung it around to demonstrate how the force kept the water from spilling. For that experiment, he called fifth grader Brooklyn Rabe to the floor to assist. She used 3 small cups of water on the plate and was mostly successful. To explain weight distribution, Electron Eli sat on a seat of nails. He had fourth grader Henry Shunke sit on the nails also. As Shunke had no injury from the seat, Electron Eli put a balloon on the nails and tried to pop it. It took strong force to finally get the balloon to burst. Next, we have a report on the Crescent Iroquois District No. 249 March School Board Meeting. The March 18 meeting was called to order by Board President Steve Massey at 7 p.m., after the Pledge of Allegiance, Secretary Jody Niebuhr took roll call with all members present, Lee Medina, Niebuhr, Becky Dirks, Christy Pfeiffer, Tim Coleman, Massey, and Candy Butzow. Also present was Superintendent Lucas Schroeder. The board discussed the sale of the district's bus 908. The administrative report was shared by Schroeder with the mention of February Students of the Month at Crescent City Grade School. Second grader Avery Rippey and fifth grader Quinn Butzow. Enrollment at CCGS is 52, and the number of students in grades 6 through 12 is 53. IAR testing will begin soon, and in regards to the third quarter of the Hawks Reading Challenge, 40 of 52 students qualified to see a movie. The board approved minutes of the February 26 regular meeting, the treasurer's report dated February 29, the payment of bills dated March 18, the impressed fund and petty cash reports of February 29. They left closed minutes closed and allowed for the destruction of audio tapes older than 18 months. In other action, the board approved the 6-year quote for Eureka Math, which will save the district quite a bit of money. Changes to the junior high intergovernmental agreement, and they agreed to publish notice to let bids for bus 908. At approximately 7:10 p.m., motion was made to convene in an executive session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. Once the regular session reconvened, the board adjourned. The next meeting will be at 7 p.m., Monday, April 15, at CCGS. This has been Terry Bush with the Iroquois County Times-Republic, dated March 21, 2024. I look forward to reading with you again next week.